the governor's hopes for a political future on the national stage have taken a hit. Just hours after Greitens delivered a State of the State address last night that called for more tax cuts, St. Louis TV station KMOV aired the bombshell about the governor's affair in 2015. Greitens is denying allegations by the woman's ex-husband that he threatened to blackmail her with nude pictures if she went public. Republican lawmakers left the Capitol quickly this morning after a closed-door caucus in the House. GOP leaders issued statements declaring their deep concern but are holding off on calls for resignation or impeachment. I'm Joe Manis, St. Louis Public Radio.
Missouri's governor, a rising star in the Republican Party, has admitted to an extramarital affair, but he denies allegations of blackmail. St. Louis Public Radio's Jason Rosenbaum looks at whether the governor's political career can survive the revelations.
Last night was supposed to be an opportunity for Eric Greitens to revel in his accomplishments before lawmakers. In his second State of the State address, he reflected on his year in office.
Welcome to St. Louis on the Air. I'm Don Marsh. Governor Eric Greitens delivered his second State of the State address last night, but that is not what people are talking about today. After the speech, Greitens and his wife admitted that he had an extramarital affair before he became governor. There was an immediate call for his resignation. We had expected to analyze the State of the State address on today's program, and we will, but this story is overshadowing that speech. Joining me in studio is Jason Rosenbaum.
The indictment says the governor took a photograph of a partially nude woman without her consent. Under state law, that's a felony. State Senator Rob Schoff is among the fellow Republicans calling for Greitens to resign.
I think it's a big black mark.
In a statement to St. Louis Public Radio, Representative Marsha Haefner of St. Louis County said Greitens is no longer fit to hold Missouri's highest office. It comes less than a week
since Greitens has been indicted for allegedly taking a partially nude photo of his then mistress without her consent. McCaskill has said little since the indictment and says her silence is tied to her past as a prosecutor.
I will say I'm disappointed at how much the court of public opinion is trying to be manipulated.
Democrats like former state representative Ed Schieffer of Troy feel that Greitens' extramarital affair and allegations of taking a partially nude photo of a woman without her consent are disqualifying.
I believe strongly if I had done half the things that supposedly the president and the governor.
In Missouri, in order to invade someone's privacy in a case like this, two things have to happen. Someone has to take a nude or semi-nude photo of you without your consent, and it has to happen in a place where you have a reasonable expectation of privacy. Greitens' attorneys are arguing that taking the photo wouldn't be a crime because the woman consented to the affair. That theory doesn't sound far-fetched to Bradley Young, an attorney at Harris, Dowell, Fisher & Young in St. Louis.
If a person does not have a reasonable expectation of privacy based upon the circumstances, then one cannot be convicted of the charge of invasion of privacy.
Young says the case also raises questions about what it means to transmit a photo so that someone can view it on a computer. That's the reason Greitens is facing a felony and not a misdemeanor. I'm Rachel Lippman, St. Louis.
The Missouri House Committee investigating Governor Eric Greitens is continuing to meet this week, even though the rest of the legislature is on spring break. St. Louis Public Radio's Joe Manis takes a look at the lawmakers on the panel.
The committee chairman is State Representative Jay Barnes, a Republican from Jefferson City who's in his last year in the State House. While he's usually loyal to the GOP, Barnes is best known in the Capitol.
Before they withdrew from the case earlier this month, Dowd and Bennett represented Greitens in his role as governor in a lawsuit over the use of Confide. The application deletes messages as soon as they are read. The men are now defending Greitens as a civilian against the felony invasion of privacy charge. The problem, prosecutors say, is that Confide may have been used in this case. They allege in Friday's brief the app is one of the ways the governor may have transmitted a semi-nude photo of his then-mistress.
Both Republicans and Democrats are calling on Governor Eric Greitens to resign after the release of an explosive report on his conduct. But as St. Louis Public Radio's Jason Rosenbaum reports, the GOP chief executive is remaining defiant.
The report commissioned by the GOP-controlled House includes testimony from a woman Greitens had an affair with before he was in office. Among other things, the woman says a sexual encounter in Greitens' basement was not consensual. Democratic State Representative Deb Lavender of Kirkwood says the details in the report warrant Greitens' resignation.
And so I think that this happening in Missouri is just a very sad day for us.
In a defiant statement to dozens of reporters, Greitens claimed the report was full of lies and a witch hunt. He promised to stay in office.
And that I will continue to serve the people of Missouri as their governor and to work for you every day.
Assuming Greitens doesn't change his mind, It'll be up to
a House report on Governor Eric Greitens' conduct brought shock, outrage, and a bipartisan call for the GOP chief executive to resign. But Greitens is defiantly rejecting calls to step aside, which may force the Republican-controlled legislature to do it for him. St. Louis Public Radio's Jason Rosenbaum reports on what's next after a startling Wednesday in Missouri's politics.
State Representative Nate Walker was part of a small group of Republican elected officials who supported Eric Greitens' 2016 gubernatorial bid. He said he thought he knew a man whose campaign focused on military service and integrity, not what was compiled in a report by his House colleagues. That document contains allegations that Greitens coerced a woman into sexual acts and hit her on several occasions. It's behavior that Walker, a Kirksville Republican, says is disturbing and disqualifying.
It's kind of sickening. And I've reinstated my call for his resignation. And if he doesn't resign, then I think the legislature needs to do the right thing and proceed with...
This week saw the release of an explosive House report on Governor Eric Greitens' conduct. And the allegations of physical and sexual abuse within it brought shock, outrage, and bipartisan desire for Greitens to resign from office.
The report that's going to come out at 5 will have very graphic descriptions of the governor's behavior. I think this is a sad day for Missouri.
This shocked me that someone would do this to another human being, particularly in the 21st century.
I don't need to see any more of this movie. It's horrible. It's terrible. I know what sexual abuse is when I see it. The governor of Missouri needs to resign, and he needs to resign immediately.
But Greitens himself has no plans to leave and has strongly denied the most startling allegations within the report. And his refusal to leave could lead legislators to initiate impeachment. Before the report came out, the governor struck a defiant tone.
I want to say again what I've said from the beginning. This is a political witch hunt. In just 33 days, a court of law and a jury of my peers will let every person in Missouri know the truth and prove my innocence.
On this episode of Politically Speaking, we delve into the aftermath of this bombshell document and look at all the legal twists and turns in court in the Greitens saga.
Greitens is scheduled to go to trial May 14th, which is also the start of the final week of the legislative session. But his attorneys say they will be ready to go even sooner than that. They plan to ask Judge Rex Burleson to move the start date to April 3rd, says defense attorney Ed Dowd.
The governor is innocent and is entitled to have his case heard and get it over with. We're ready to go, and the state should be, too. It's going to be a brief trial.
The defense is also considering having Burleson hear the case rather than a jury, a move opposed by prosecutor Kim Gardner.
The publisher of a political newspaper delivered $50,000 in cash to an attorney of a key witness in Governor Eric Greitens' felony invasion of privacy trial. St. Louis Public Radio's Jason Rosenbaum has more.
In a hearing on Monday afternoon, Greitens' attorney Jim Martin announced that Scott Fawn delivered $50,000 in cash to Al Watkins. Watkins is the attorney of the ex-husband of the woman Greitens had an affair with in 2015, and the ex-husband ended up exposing the infidelity in January. Fawn is the publisher of the Missouri Times, and Martin alluded to how one of that entity's main sponsors, Sterling Bank, is heavily involved in the low-income housing tax credit industry. Greitens ended up halting state...
Greitens is the founder of The Mission Continues, a nonprofit charity set up to help veterans. Circuit Attorney Kim Gardner contends that in April 2015, Greitens oversaw the computer transfer of the donor list to his 2016 campaign for governor without obtaining the nonprofit's permission. Improper use of the list violates state law. Greitens is charged with 2 felony counts. Greitens previously has acknowledged that his campaign improperly obtained the list.
Now let's go to St. Louis, Missouri, where a judge has made a ruling in the upcoming trial of the governor of Missouri. The ruling is that the trial of Eric Greitens can go forward. The charges against him followed allegations of sexual coercion that have put his political career in jeopardy. Here's St. Louis Public Radio's Jason Rosenbaum.
Missouri has been mired in political crisis since January, after Republican Governor Greitens acknowledged an extramarital affair. The developments quickly gained steam. In February, he was indicted for photographing the woman he had an extramarital affair with without her consent. And last week, a detailed investigation by the Missouri House painted the former Navy SEAL as being sexually and physically abusive in the affair. While the governor admitted to the affair, he strenuously denied the woman's characterizations of his behavior. And he's made it clear for months that he's not going to resign.
This is exactly like what's happening with the witch hunts in Washington, D.C. Smearing, lying, and attacking people who want to change how things are done is wrong in Washington, and it's wrong in Missouri.
But there's plenty of evidence that Greitens' political standing among Missourians is diminished. The scandal marks a tailspin for a politician considered a rising star in the Republican Party who had presidential ambitions. Governor Greitens may now be facing a legislature controlled by his own party that will seek to impeach him. That's largely because of last week's explosive report that contained graphic allegations, including that he coerced the woman into unwanted sex acts in his basement. Even though Greitens denies the woman's claims, lawmakers like Democratic Senator Gina Walsh find her story credible.
It is extremely heinous what came out in that report, and I have no faith in that man.
Then 2 days ago, another bombshell dropped. Attorney General Josh Hawley, himself a Republican, revealed there's enough evidence to charge Greitens with a felony for illegally obtaining a fundraising list from a veterans charity the governor co-founded. Hawley is running for the Senate against Democratic incumbent Claire McCaskill, and observers say he may be worried that the governor's woes will hurt his chances. All of this incessant political drama is exhausting for longtime GOP activist Chris Gron Howard. He says Missouri Republicans are divided between supporting their governor and urging him to get out of office.
I don't know how much more water he can take on and remain viable.
With Governor Greitens standing firm against resigning, his poll numbers have plummeted, especially among female voters. One of his largest political donors abandoned him, and as GOP political consultant Greg Keller noted, it's not just Attorney General Josh Hawley who is worried about the scandal's possible effect at the polls.
It is the first off year of having our guy in the White House. Historically, it's not a good time. And you can't make any argument right now other than Greitens is a big drag on Republicans.
So far, there's little proof that the governor is concerned about what his fellow politicians think about him, even as they weigh whether to call a special session later this spring to debate impeaching him. For NPR News, I'm Jason Rosenbaum in St. Louis.
In February, that she had indicted the state's Republican governor for invasion of privacy. It was the first time in state history that a sitting executive faced criminal charges. In the first of a series on the people in the courtroom for the Eric Greitens trial, St. Louis Public Radio's Rachel Lipman introduces us to the team who will be trying to make that criminal charge stick.
Gardner didn't take a traditional path to the circuit attorney's office. She's a registered nurse, a former Democratic state representative, and did legal work for her family's funeral home in North St. Louis. And while she was an assistant circuit attorney in the early 2000s, Gardner never tried a murder case. She defended that. The big names joined early and often. It's Edward Dowd's signature on the not guilty plea the governor entered February 22nd. Jim Bennett signed on to the case the next day. So did two other partners at the Dowd-Bennett firm, former federal prosecutors Jim Martin and Michelle Nassar. Attorney Jay Kanzler, a partner at Witzel, Kanzler & Dimmitt, worked with Dowd and Bennett early in their careers.
They are very talented lawyers. They have different personalities when it comes to how they approach life and the practice of law.
Dowd's got gravitas, Kanzler says. He commands respect as a member of a prominent St. Louis legal family, as the former U.S. attorney in St. Paul Louis. Paul DeGrossa knows many of them well. He did criminal defense in St. Louis for years before becoming a federal prosecutor in January.
I've practiced in front of Judge Burleson. There's probably not enough room in that courtroom for all of the egos involved, but he will keep them in check and make sure that the business of the court is done in an efficient manner and that there isn't a dog and pony show.
Carmichael, Burleson's longtime friend, says the judge will probably get a thrill out of presiding over the Greitens case.
Because I think he finds nothing more satisfying and maybe even the word entertaining than seeing top trial attorneys do top trial work in front of him.
Even more importantly for everyone involved, DeGrossa said, Burleson gets it right.
And so as a lawyer, you can't complain if the judge gets it right, even if the judge isn't ruling in your favor or your client's favor. I would say he's perfect for this case.
Jury selection is scheduled to take a few days. Opening statements are set for Monday. I'm Rachel Lipman, St. Louis Public Radio.
Governor Eric Greitens is declaring victory after St. Louis prosecutors dropped a felony invasion of privacy charge yesterday. St. Louis Public Radio's Rachel Lipman reports.
Prosecutors said they had no choice but to drop the charges after Greitens' attorneys were given permission to call Circuit Attorney Kim Gardner as a witness. The move limited her ability to try the case. The defense team had wanted to question her about an investigator she hired. They say he lied under oath several times. In his first public remarks about the charges in weeks, Greitens said the experience had humbled and changed him.
At this time, I'd ask people of goodwill to come together so that all of us can continue to do good together.
The dismissal of the invasion of privacy case does not end the legal or political woes for Greitens. He could still be impeached by the Missouri House. He has also been charged with a separate felony for allegedly misusing a list of donors to his charity for his campaign. I'm Rachel Lipman, St. Louis Public Radio.
St. Louis prosecutors made a stunning decision on Monday afternoon to drop felony invasion of privacy charges against Governor Eric Greitens. It's a move that gave the reeling GOP chief executive a moral boost, but as St. Louis Public Radio's Jason Rosenbaum reports, the governor's legal and political troubles are far from over.
Governor Eric Greitens ended Monday in a whole different place from where he started. For most of the day, Greitens sat silently in a St. Louis courtroom in the run-up to his felony invasion of privacy trial. He's accused of taking a semi-nude photo of a woman he had an affair with without her consent. Jury selection was unfolding at a snail's pace when Ronald Sullivan stood up, and the Harvard Law professor tapped by St. Louis Circuit Attorney Kim Gardner announced the state was dropping the case. This startling announcement prompted Greitens to break his relative silence in front of a mass of reporters at the courthouse steps.
Governor Eric Greitens is resigning from office, capping a dramatic 5 months that saw his political fortunes completely collapse. St. Louis Public Radio's Jason Rosenbaum has more.
Greitens announced that he will step down from office on Friday afternoon. It comes after he faced scandals from multiple fronts after admitting to having an extramarital affair in January. Greitens had steadfastly refused to step down, even as he faced impeachment. But after his decision, GOP Lieutenant Governor Mike Parson will take the reins of Missouri state government.
And it's clear that for the forces that oppose us, there is no end in sight. I cannot allow those forces to continue to cause pain and difficulty to the people that I love.
Parson will become the first lieutenant governor to take on the state's top job since Roger Wilson in 2000. I'm Jason Rosenbaum.
Governor Eric Greitens' decision to resign likely eliminates the threat of impeachment. But as St. Louis Public Radio's Rachel Lippman reports, his legal future is still in question.
Greitens is facing a felony computer tampering charge for allegedly using a list of donors to his charity. The mission continues during the campaign. St. Louis Circuit Attorney Kim Gardner said in a statement that her office had reached a fair and just resolution in that case. But a separate investigation into whether the governor took a photo without the permission of the woman with whom he had an affair will continue. The prosecutor in Jackson County, Jean Peters Baker.
Missouri Governor Eric Greitens ended months of drama on Tuesday when he announced his resignation from office. The GOP chief executive came into power with national ambitions, but left amid scandal and bipartisan scorn. St. Louis Public Radio's Jason Rosenbaum reports.
Governor Eric Greitens approached reporters on Tuesday as a diminished man. He wasn't the hard-charging former Navy SEAL who promised to upend business as usual in Jefferson City, nor was he the Republican governor with the opportunity to enact more change than any of his predecessors. Instead, Greitens emerged as a tarnished footnote, a man who resigned amid scandal and blamed his political enemies for his demise.
And it's clear that for the forces that oppose us, there is no end in sight. I cannot allow those forces to continue to cause pain and difficulty to the people that I love.
For many Republicans and Democrats, it wasn't some shadowy group that brought Greitens down. It was his own behavior. After acknowledging in January he had an extramarital affair, Greitens faced bipartisan resignation calls, especially after the woman he had an affair with claimed he was abusive. He faced criminal charges associated with sexual misconduct and how he raised money for his campaign. Republicans that control the General Assembly were mulling over whether to impeach Greitens. He lost support of key political figures, including former legislative allies like GOP House Speaker Todd Richardson.
I had hoped from the beginning of this process that the committee would find no wrongdoing so that we could bring this investigation to a close and put all of our attention on the issues that matter most to Missouri families. Unfortunately, this is where the facts led.
Even before the scandal broke, Greitens was facing scorn for how he treated legislators. He compared them to third graders last year for not passing enough bills. And Democrats like Senator Jamil Nasheed felt he didn't engage enough with lawmakers, especially after he acknowledged the affair in January.
I knew all along that he would eventually resign, but it just didn't happen soon enough. And I think that a lot of the Republicans felt that it was going to impact their abilities to win seats here in the state of Missouri.
Some Republicans feared Greitens' political woes were dragging down people like Attorney General Josh Hawley, who is trying to unseat U.S. Senator Claire McCaskill. University of Missouri-St. Louis political science professor Dave Robertson says Democrats were eager to link Greitens' scandals to GOP candidates.
In fact, Greitens is going to remain the face of the Republican Party through the opposition ads for the incumbent Republicans into the fall. And corruption is going to be a major theme in this election, and you're seeing it already.
But by Friday, it will all be over. Lieutenant Governor Mike Parson will ascend to the governorship, and Democrats like State Representative Michael Butler believe the longtime GOP official has what it takes to take on the state's vexing issues, underfunded roads, struggling schools, and crime. As for Greitens, Butler says he'll become a cautionary tale for politicians who put ambition over public service.
This governor wanted to be president the day he was inaugurated, and he was planning a presidential campaign soon after he took office. And Missouri got left behind because of that.
When he departs from public life on Friday afternoon, Greitens will leave behind a legacy of missed opportunities and scandal. It will be up to Parson to deliver on the promise that many felt Greitens possessed. I'm Jason Rosenbaum.
Missouri Governor Eric Greitens' announcement yesterday that he will resign was part of a deal with prosecutors to drop felony computer tampering charges. St. Louis Public Radio's Rachel Littman reports on what's in the agreement that both sides accepted today.
In April, Circuit Attorney Kim Gardner charged Greitens for allegedly using a charity donor list for his campaign. Greitens' defense team approached her over the weekend about striking a deal to drop the case. Basically, as soon as the governor resigns on Friday, the charges will be dismissed and cannot be filed again. Gardner says the agreement will help the state move on.
I remain confident that we have the evidence required to pursue charges against Mr. Greitens, but sometimes pursuing charges is not the right or just thing to do.
The agreement does not affect the work of a special prosecutor who is deciding whether to refile a felony invasion of privacy charge. Greitens is accused of taking a semi-nude photo without the permission of the woman with whom he had an affair. I'm Rachel Lippman, St. Louis.
It's finally over. After months of legal and political drama, Governor Eric Greitens announced on Tuesday that he's stepping down from his office.
I know, and people of good faith know, that I am not perfect. But I have not broken any laws nor committed any offense worthy of this treatment. I will let the fairness of this process be judged by history.
For now, Greitens will leave a legacy of a man who squandered a major opportunity to enact policy change and leave a mark to fulfill his not-so-secret presidential ambitions. So on this edition of Politically Speaking, St. Louis Public Radio's Joe Manis and Rachel Lippman join me to talk about soon-to-be former Governor Greitens' legacy and what the past few months mean for Missouri. And welcome to Politically Speaking. I'm your host, Jason Rosenbaum, a reporter with St. Louis Public Radio. Joining me in studios in St. Louis today is
reporter Rachel Lippman
and
reporter Joe Manis.
It's a historic day that we're recording this podcast, and there's no sarcasm there.
No, and actually, this will probably be the last Greitens podcast. We may have Parson podcast, but
or just a roundup of other things. But this will be the final edition of Politically Speaking, rounding up the news from the Eric Greitens saga. Because if you don't know already, Governor Greitens is resigning today. We're recording this on Friday at 1:10 p.m. By the time you hear this, he'll have about 2 or 3 hours to go before he resigns, and then Lieutenant Governor Mike Parson becomes governor. And
Twitter has been full of pictures of the moving vans, basically two guys in a truck, and that's the truth.
No, it's outside not basically. It is two guys in a truck.
Outside the governor's mansion. Well, there was a couple smaller trucks.
Okay. Well,
moving his stuff out.
We're going to reflect, I think, on the lessons of the last 5 months in the last part of the show, but I think we would be kind of papering over some important points that we didn't talk about the resignation itself. So Around 3 p.m. on Tuesday, I started getting text messages from some of my sources in Jefferson City, and I was told that news is coming, be prepared, can't say anything else. And it was not from somebody who was part of the anti-Greitens movement. And then I called somebody who was part of the anti-Greitens movement, and they said that Greitens was planning to resign around 4.
Yeah.
He turned out that he resigned around 4:15. So this was one of those instances where the rumor mill was not a rumor. It was actually true. And he made a pretty short speech to reporters, didn't take any questions.
Did not apologize.
And no. And he blamed some of his enemies for what he was doing. I'm going to play a clip right now that's kind of part and parcel with that.
Millions of dollars of mounting legal bills, endless personal attacks designed to cause maximum damage to family and friends. And it's clear that for the forces that oppose us, there is no end in sight. I cannot allow those forces to continue to cause pain and difficulty to the people that I love.
I think that a lot of people did not like it, that speech, Joe, because there was very little contrition. He didn't really admit that he had did anything wrong. And you've seen resignation speeches before and resignation statements. I think former State Senator Jeff Smith posted his on Twitter where he was very contrite before he went to prison for around a year. What did you make of it?
Well, In some ways, I wasn't surprised. I mean, I covered arguably Greitens' last big press conference around the Capitol, like the second to the last day of the regular legislative session that was supposed to be about biofuels and ended up being a defiant speech where he was blasting the low-income tax credit industry and everybody else who he believed was behind his problems. And he didn't, he really was, you know, fiery. And so in some ways, when I first started hearing the rumors too, I was a little taken off guard. But I think most of it, I believe that some of this was tied to the judge's ruling that morning that was going to require him to turn in some financial information. And then apparently the talks that had been going on with the circuit attorney's office over the weekend. But I think he is not going quietly. He is ticked off.